Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, February 12th, 2013. I'm Holly Keen, and this is Raven News. Alaska State Troopers will not release any information from the autopsy of a 13-year-old girl killed last week in Cake. Spokeswoman Megan Peters says the official report was expected to be delivered to troopers Monday, but she says, quote, "We will not be releasing any details of it." The state medical examiner's office completed the autopsy Friday. Mackenzie Howard's body was found last Tuesday at Cake Church. Troopers say her death is being investigated as a homicide. They will not discuss a murder weapon or most other aspects of the case. Peter says releasing more information could compromise the integrity of the investigation. She says at least five investigators traveled to Cake to secure the crime scene, gather evidence, and conduct interviews. She says that effort continues. 2 days after interviewing finalists for the job, the Sitka Assembly has offered the position of municipal attorney to Robin Kochak. Kochak is currently in private practice in Wasilla. Her resume in Alaska stretches back to 1992. She has worked in the municipal attorney's office in Anchorage and has been an adjunct professor at the University of Alaska Anchorage. She's also done contract work, including some for BP. She was assistant municipal attorney for the North Slope Borough for a year and a half, and from 2007 to 2011, she worked as assistant attorney general and assistant district attorney in Barrow. The job offer in Sitka comes after an executive session in City Hall on Sunday night. The assembly emerged after about an hour and voted to make Kochak the offer. As KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, Sunday night was a big step, but far from the last one.
Had you walked past City Hall on Sunday, it would have been difficult to tell anything was happening. The front of the building was locked, and the lights were off on the first floor. But the back door was unlocked, and the lights were on in a suite of offices on the third floor. Inside, assembly members debated the merits of two finalists to replace Teresa Hillhouse. Several assembly members said they were moving quickly because they hoped to put the new attorney in place before Hillhouse leaves the job on March 1st. Also, they wanted to deliberate before Mayor Mim McConnell and Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett left for a conference in Juneau on Monday morning.
Just because it's gone fast doesn't mean it hasn't been done carefully.
Mayor McConnell after Sunday night's meeting.
And we are kind of up against a time crunch with Teresa leaving March 1st. She will be making herself available as much as she can over, the next, through the month of March and stuff. But she's got to go. She's got to get up to her new job, and she's got to move. And so it's going to make a really difficult transition if we can't get somebody in here soon.
The assembly plans to keep Hillhouse on at about half her salary for 4 months to aid in the transition. Reporters for KCAW and the Daily Sitka Sentinel spoke during the public testimony portion of Sunday's meeting. We said the public could not have been fully aware of the special meeting, which was announced at the end of Friday's interviews and posted to the city's website. KCAW does not broadcast weekend newscasts, and the Daily Sitka Sentinel does not publish over the weekend. One of the biggest proponents for a slow and deliberative process in hiring the attorney was Assemblymember Mike Reif. During initial meetings, he said he wanted as many expert voices as possible to weigh in, and he echoed a sentiment many assembly members held, that if a suitable candidate could not be found among the pool in front of them, they'd simply keep looking. Sunday night, Reif said he was comfortable with the choice of Robin Kochak, despite the speed.
The candidate we're making the offer to is someone I think is extremely strong. And if I had any doubt that this wasn't an exceptional candidate, somewhere in that 8-9 category on a scale 1 to 10, I would be slowing this way down.
The assembly had help during the process from Hillhouse, as well as City Human Resources Director Mark Danielson and former Municipal Attorney Cliff Groh, who agreed to review some of the applications and offer his opinion. Municipal Administrator Jim Dinley was not part of the process. He and the attorney both work directly for the assembly without supervisory authority over each other. Assemblymember Michelle Putz said the assembly had heard from the public through email comments. Also, those interested still have time to weigh in. The assembly plans a special meeting before its regular session tonight. Members will discuss in executive session any counteroffer Kochak makes on the job and then come into the open and vote whether to hire her. Public testimony is usually allowed before a vote. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
That special meeting begins at 5:45 tonight inside Harrigan Centennial Hall, with the regular meeting to immediately follow. Raven Radio will join live coverage after the conclusion of President Obama's State of the Union address. You can hear the interviews the assembly conducted with both finalists on our website, kcaw.org. Democratic legislators in Juneau have rolled out their oil tax proposal, and the bill is more of a modification of current tax structure than an overhaul. House Bill 111 would cap the windfall profits tax at 30% and create credits for heavy oil research and development and the construction of new processing facilities on the North Slope. It would also exempt 20% of oil from new fields from taxes for the first 7 years in production. House Bill 111 has been pitched as an alternative to Governor Sean Parnell's plan to lower taxes on oil companies. His bill, Senate Bill 21, would get rid of a mechanism that raises taxes on oil companies as the price per barrel goes up and gets rid of some exploration credits in favor of credits tied to production. Senate Bill 21 is now winding its way through the legislature with a handful of hearings in both the House and Senate this week. House Bill 111's primary sponsor is Representative Beth Kurtula. Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins of Sitka is not a co-sponsor of the bill at this point. According to Democratic Caucus Press Secretary Mark Nadd, Christ Tompkins is currently reviewing the legislation. Parnell's office is also reviewing the minority's bill. They offered a brief statement saying that the governor is pleased that Democrats agree there is a problem with production under the current system. About 90% of Alaska's tax revenue comes from oil production. Officials in Prince William Sound are making a strong push for the future liquefied natural gas project. Last week, Valdez Mayor Dave Cobb sent a letter to House Speaker Mike Chenault. His goal was to persuade the speaker and fellow lawmakers to consider Valdez as a site for the project. As KCHU's Tony Gorman reports, Cobb did not expect the response he received from Chenault's office later that week.
In Mayor Dave Cobb's letter to Speaker Mike Chenault, he highlighted the local efforts to bring a large volume gas line to Valdez since before the Trans-Alaska Pipeline's completion in the late 1970s. That letter was also carbon copied to Governor Sean Parnell. The response to his letter was a highlight of its own. Valdez City Clerk Sherry Pierce, who sent Cobb's letter on his behalf, received an unexpected reply from Chenault's Chief of Staff, Tom Wright. The email read, "What a crock of expletive." Cobb's reaction to finding out the email?
You know, we've fought for long and hard for a gas line to come to Valdez, but we're not afraid to work with anybody to make sure that what we have, the pipeline we have, is beneficial to all the state of Alaska. Everybody in the state should benefit, not just a few. And so when I did see that, I was shocked that this would come out of Speaker's office.
When called, Wright declined to comment on the matter to KCHU, and Speaker Chenault was unavailable. In an email to Pierce, he apologized for the rude response, saying it was inadvertently sent to her. He said he was forwarding the email to his peers and accidentally hit reply. Wright claimed sole responsibility and said it did not represent Chenault's position on the issue. Cobb didn't buy into Wright's latest email.
It was, in my estimation, a poor explanation of why the first original email was sent, and it was not really an apology to the people of the state of Alaska and or to anybody here in Valdez by certain.
Cobb and the city of Valdez sent another letter to the speaker's office expressing their disappointment. The letter was CC'd to the offices of Governor Parnell, Lieutenant Governor Meet Treadwell, and other lawmakers. They hope to meet face-to-face with the Kenai Republican during their visit to Juneau this week. The incident hasn't deterred Valdez officials from pushing for an LNG project. The city council voted unanimously during Friday's special meeting to invest $400,000 in an informational campaign for the project. With help from Valdez Star editor Lee Revis, I'm Tony Gorman reporting from Valdez.
The community of Yakutat is trying to turn ocean waves into a source of renewable energy. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has approved a preliminary permit application for a wave energy project in Yakutat. Boston-based Resolute Marine Energy would install wave energy converters underwater within a 25-square-mile area under the plan. Yakutat currently powers homes by burning diesel fuel. Wave energy converters, as envisioned, could produce 3,000 megawatt-hours annually, enough to power 250 homes or half the households in Yakutat. Yakutat's electric utility manager Scott Newland says waves are a huge energy resource. Resolute Marine Energy in December tested wave converters off North Carolina. Preliminary FERC approval allows the company to move ahead with more studies and apply for an operating license. A new report estimates that 1.8 million out-of-state visitors came to Alaska between May 2011 and April 2012. The Department of Commerce in a news release says this is an increase of 3% over the previous year and the first increase in 4 years. The report commissioned by the department shows an estimated 1.6 million out-of-state visitors came to Alaska between May and September 2011, including 883,000 cruise ship passengers. While that figure is better than the prior summer, report says it is 5% below 2006 levels and 9% below the 2007 historical peak of 1.71 million visitors. Over the full year, visitors spent an estimated $1.8 billion, not including cruise packages. Concerns are being raised with Governor Sean Parnell's crime bill. Quinlan Steiner, head of the Alaska Public Defender Agency, testified before the House Judiciary Committee on Monday. Steiner says much of the bill's language could have unintended consequences if it were passed as it is currently written. The American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska also raised constitutional concerns. The measure would strengthen sentencing laws in child pornography and sex trafficking cases. It would also allow judges to order GPS tracking of people with protective orders against them. It is a continuation of the Parnell's administration's effort to crack down on domestic and sexual violence. Both of the House and Senate Judiciary Committees heard and held the bill on Monday. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And a quick look at Sitka Zone weather. Expect fog in the morning, highs around 40. And tonight, increasing clouds with rain developing, slight chance of rain. KCAW, Sitka.